episode number 17, recorded November 27th, 2005. We haven't done a podcast in a while, or at least I haven't been in a podcast for a while. Jeff and Dale obviously did a podcast earlier. Sorry I wasn't able to make that. But I want to go ahead and start off talking about the Xbox 360. It's ups and downs. As everybody knows, it was released a couple days ago. People stood in line for days trying to get the Xbox 360, and some have taken it home to realize crashes and other problems with it. The Xbox 360, of course, a very popular system, been in the news for a while and was just released. Great performance and other things, but there's been problems of images freezing, screens of death, errors, and just all kinds of different things. So, you know, some people, Microsoft has said that these errors have occurred in very few systems, but just nothing to be worried about. Microsoft did say that they were going to replace any systems that people reported as being faulty or have crashed.
I just read that someone fixed his by hanging up his cord by the power cord by a string, and that the crashes were due to overheating power supplies.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And I heard, I haven't seen one yet, but I heard that the power supply is pretty big.
Yeah, the power supplies are just enormous, according to people.
And I was just at I think it was EB Games, and they had one just sitting there. It was so loud. The fan was just like blasting.
Was there a fan to the power supply?
No, it was just the actual system itself, but I saw the power supply and it's massive.
Oh, wow. Well, I was reading online at howstuffworks.com. They had a really great article on how the Xbox 360 works. And it goes in depth and it's pretty cool. So check that out.
Well, another problem with the Xbox 360 is actually getting one. Of course, they're out of stock almost everywhere. Microsoft was not prepared at all for the enormous amount of people that wanted one of these Xboxes.
I think they knew that this was going to happen. And there's rumors that they were purposely holding back shipments just to get the news coverage.
Well, of course, you know, they're going to be released in Europe soon. And I'm actually reading an article now that they're going to have over 300,000 Xbox 360s in stock for the European launch. So hopefully it'll be better in other areas than they handled it in the U.S.
I was reading online that some research firm or someone did a study on all the parts of the 360 and how, like, there's like 1,000 different parts from all these manufacturers, and like if just one goes down, like how it can be a real big trouble for the whole line. Just imagine, like, you know, having all these, like, if like one of the places stopped, you know, had a problem in the factory or something, then it'd be a real big problem for them.
Yeah, anybody who watches G4, they had a huge special the day of the Xbox 360 release that was live, and then they rerun it a couple other days ago. And I was watching some of it, and they had a bunch of insights on different things. They even had interviews up in, I think it was New York, the Best Buy up there, where people were in line for days, and they had interviews with, like, the first 5 people in line and talking to them. It's ridiculous. Some people had been out there for, like, you know, over 2 days trying to get one of these Xbox 360s. And just to imagine to get one of those and then bring it home and have it crash on the simplest of games, you know, because this is just the first generation of the games to hit the Xbox 360.
Well, I was at Walmart on, what was it, Monday night? Or wait, was it at least Tuesday? The Xbox? I think it was Monday.
Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. Maybe I could be completely wrong.
Well, I think it was Monday, one of those days. But I was up at Walmart, and then it was raining that day up here. And it was, and then there was like 14 people camped out. I didn't understand. I'm like, why are people? Oh, I'm like, oh, Xbox. But they had a sign up that said only there was like 10 standard and then 2 premium Xboxes available. And there was more people than that. So I don't see why. I wouldn't be that crazy to sit out in the rain for an Xbox.
Well, a lot of people, they were turned down at the different stores because all they had left was the lower-end version, and they wanted the higher-end. So they, you know, had to settle for the less because more people wanted the higher-end than the lower-end. So
yeah, I was talking to a kid up here who's, in the one tech club I'm president of, and he was saying he ordered at EB Games back in July or so, the premium edition, but something that they were, there's two local EB Games, they switched on who was getting more inventory. And so even though he was on the list, EB Games gave the one store, like their Xboxes to another, a lot of their Xboxes to another store. So he was even on the list for like, you know, 6 months or whatever. And he now has to wait till December 3rd to get his Xbox.
Wow.
That's what they're predicting.
Well, of course, with the mad rush of the Xbox 360 and almost everybody being sold out, there's always that one, there's always those couple of people that want to make money. And if you go to eBay, you can get Xbox 360s for like $600, people that buy it and then turn around and resell it for jacked up prices, which people are willing to pay, seeing as you can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah, well, they don't jack them up. People keep bidding on them.
Well, yeah, one of them was up to like $700, I saw. Wanted it at 60.
There's a really cool site, but it's not updated anymore. But it was xbox.clambert.org. They had a, using the Google Maps API, you type in your zip code, and it shows all the local Best Buys in the area. And it showed how many Xboxes they have in inventory the day of the sale, and they had, you know, like the number of premium and standard editions. It was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
But it doesn't work anymore.
Another thing that the Xbox 360 is doing is their launch title line is a lot better than the original Xbox was. When the original Xbox was released, what did they have? Like Halo, and that was it.
They had Project Gotham. I bought it when it first came out.
They did have that. And then other than that, I mean, there wasn't really anything good. But the Xbox 360, they really turned it around, and they've got Call of Duty 2. They've got, what else do they have? They've got Project Gotham 3, is it? And, you know, their launch title, so they're doing a lot better with that.
Yeah.
Than they did with the Xbox.
Yeah, and just like, I was hearing some things that, after reading online about the Xbox 360 and, you know, now knowing more, that, they, learning about the processors, there's three cores that running at 3.2 gigahertz. And, they said, it might have been on G4. Might have been tuned in watching the thing. They said that most of the games now are using one of the threads. Each processor can hold two threads, and so since there's three cores, they can have six threads. And that games right now, most of them are just using one thread, and there are other just for audio and other things. But when developers start to have more time with the new Xbox and get to utilize all the power, I think the games are going to be really, really interesting.
Well, yeah, because this is just the first wave of games. If you look back with what they did with the Xbox, you think of the first wave being Halo, Project Gotham Racing, and those. They were good, but they weren't, you know, near as great as the second and third generation, which was Halo 2, which actually was right there at the peak of what the Xbox could do. They were really pushing it, because when you would play it, you would realize slower load times with the loading screen and stuff like that, because it really was pushing the Xbox. So if you think of the great graphics at this first generation of the Xbox 360 and look at the very end of the Xbox 360's line when they've got all these great games coming out, it's really going to be spectacular.
A game, I was just reading a review, I think it was in Wired or somewhere else, of Half-Life 2 Xbox, and it actually got good reviews. And Dale has started playing it. I got Dale to play it, and I just beat it because I had more time to play it. And Half-Life 2 is a really, you know, uses a lot of calculations and intensive games and all the physics and stuff and the graphics, and they got a good rating. So, you know, to port a game like that onto the Xbox, which is now, you know, much slower than your PC is now, it's pretty amazing. And so what developers can do when they have more time with this Xbox is going to be really amazing.
And another thing about the Xbox 360, that was very popular with the Xbox, much more than the PS2 and the GameCube, was the modifications that you could do to the system, which included, of course, with the original Xbox, the different mod chips that they still sell, putting Linux on it, doing just all kinds of cool little things, turning it into an FTP server so you can stream movies and music and stuff to it. And, of course, there are still people out there that are willing to, you know, gamble away their $400 spent Xbox 360 to try and modify it. And it's actually supposedly been cracked being able to put a version of Linux on it. Of course, you can put Linux on things from... What?
Oh, I didn't
360
hear,
was just... the Linux they're trying to put on it.
Yeah, I heard they... Say, I didn't hear anything of getting the trying on, but they found some things that they were... That were stopping them from getting it on, that they put, that Microsoft put into it. I haven't heard anything of them successfully putting it on there yet.
This story says that there are people working on it, which, of course, you know, there are people out there putting Linux on everything from a toaster to a iPod. So I wouldn't be surprised within the coming weeks that they do crack the Xbox 360, and you'll start to see different mod chips and different hacks on the Xbox 360.
I actually have I brought the list up here that I found earlier that they showed the what Microsoft has put down on the system. I'll just read them off quickly. They said the flash is encrypted with a per box key, so each box has a different key. Xbox 360. The key is stored inside the CPU. The boot ROM is stored inside the CPU. It also includes a CPU hypervisor that verifies the running state of the kernel. Making sure that there is no modification, RAM checksums, also if you don't have it, you get kernel panics. Also, the CPU contains RAM inside it to store the checksums. All interrupts and exceptions handling is done by the hypervisor. All code is run in kernel mode, and the emulator that supports the backwards compatibility with some games, you can update it through a CD. Like if you put it, download the game, or the update, and you can put it in your CD in the Xbox, it can update it through that by flashing some of the stuff on the computer, or 360.
Well, they can do all they want, but I find it very likely that somebody will, you know, be able to hack it.
Yeah, the first one was hacked in 8 days by a student up at MIT.
And the guy, I think it was, what was it, like the vice president or something, they were doing an interview talking about the release of the original Xbox. And the guy, this was before it was released, and the guy was talking about, you know, we've done this and that, and we've encrypted this and that, and it will be very impossible for this system to be exploited. And then, of course, 8 days later, it's hacked, and mod chips are starting to appear all over the internet.
With anything, it's going to be hacked. The community, you're going to have a lot more people, like, and there's only, like, a set number of developers at Microsoft, and you have, you know, hundreds and thousands and... probably not millions, but much more people who want to hack the Xbox and coders and stuff like that are going to be able to do that than just a small group.
It's not necessarily the fact that they won't be able to do it, but it's the fact that Microsoft and all these other companies that release things like the PSP and the iPod and all this stuff are trying to stop it. I mean, I just don't see the purpose in it, seeing as it doesn't do any harm to it.
Well, I guess for those companies, most of them have to, you know, keep the company the shareholders and stuff, and they don't want to do that stuff. But there's some companies that are good about it, and there's some that are not. Like Replay TV, that they always did some really cool things, and they had problems. And we talked about, me and Dale talked about last week, the new Nokia 770 that's meant to be hacked and meant to be moddable. So.
Well, yeah, and of course, Sony. Yeah, well, me being... You know, mad about the fact that Sony, me being a PSP owner, keeps releasing all these different firmware upgrades that are constantly trying to stop homebrew applications and different things that are out there on the internet for the PSP. And I just don't see the purpose in stopping it. It makes a lot more money for them, because I know people that, you know, thought the PSP was cool when it first came out, and then after they saw all the different things that I was able to do with my PSP, they went out and got one. Because all the cool things that you can do, not just the games, not just the music, not just the movies that you can play on it. And I think in the long run, it's actually helping Sony, and they're stopping it. They're shooting themselves in the foot, in my opinion, by releasing these firmwares to stop all this.
Well, Sony just kind of tends to be like that. They like things proprietary, and they like to have total control over all of their products. Look at their entire line.
Microsoft.
They have their own type of memory stick. Yeah. And
yeah.
Microsoft.
And their own type of media device, the UMD, and their own type of everything else. DRM, which didn't work out that well, but
yeah,
that's a different story.
Yeah, but I think Sony is much more proprietary than most companies, probably even more than Microsoft. But everything they keep is tight and close. But Apple doesn't really, for their iPod, they don't really mind people with iPod Linux or anything like that, because they know it's a small number of people who are going to do it. Like, majority of people who are going to get an iPod is still called the Apple Store, the iPod Store. And like, when I'm in the Apple Store, like 9 out of 10 people who are in there are there in line at the Genius Bar or whatever, or they're only there for the iPods and have iPod questions and stuff like that. So I don't think, and most of them aren't that computer savvy enough to put Linux on their iPod. Most of them probably even know what Linux is. But kind of going on with that with Apple is that they're trying to get patents for unmodifiable code, or you can't tamper-proof code. So supposedly, people can't modify the code for the new releases of Tiger X86. I don't know how you make code tamper-proof, since it's all going to be binary and go through the processor anyway. But that was just something to put out there. And now moving on to some site news we got to get through is this Saturday, December 3rd, I think, me and Dale will be at TechServe, one of New York's largest Apple resellers, and we'll be doing a podcast live there with some other people from the Teen Podcasters Network, and it'll be at 1 o'clock, and if you're in Manhattan that day or in the area, stop by and give your support, I guess. We'll be filming it also and recording the audio. So if you're not there, you'll be able to see it later or listen to it later. And so that should be a lot of fun. And also,
hopefully the camera won't get stolen.
What?
Hopefully the camera won't get stolen.
Yeah. Well, we're taking the high def Sony and just don't want it to be stolen in Penn Station. But I don't think we're going to have problems with that. But also on the site, there's now a survey up there for listeners. If you just fill the survey out, that'd be great. It's on the right, and I'll put a link up there just reminding you. Also, I got myself a Skype voicemail, and we'll be getting one for Teen Tech Talk. That's our one Skype name, where you can just click Skype me on the right side of the webpage. And you can leave me a voicemail, but we'll be getting more later. And soon we'll probably be getting a landline number, so you can call us through a landline phone. But if you have any questions or anything like that, you can best probably leave us a voicemail and you get your voice in the air. Or if you want to maybe join the show, we have some interesting listeners like from different parts of the world. I think it would be cool to get some of them on for a little bit, don't you think?
Most definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you could just leave a voicemail saying, when is a good time to contact you or whenever. We do a lot of the podcasts around 7, 9 o'clock on the weekends around the time. So if you, that's Eastern Standard Time. And so if you want to, just leave us a message and we'll probably get you on. And also remember, you can always email us at teentechtalk@gmail.com. And what else? I just wanted to put a plug to the techtap.com. It's a podcast done there by a fellow podcaster like us. He was on the Frapper site for Teen Tech Talk, so that's just a plug. So anyone else who wants to who's listening, join the Frapper, and you can even get your podcast plugged. And so check out the techtap.com. Okay, so another thing I was talking to about podcasts is one past podcast I've been listening to a lot lately. It's only a few episodes out, but it's Coco Radio, and it's a podcast that's for Coco developers. Coco is the language that's used for coding in Mac OS X. It's, or Objective-C is with also goes by kind of the same thing. But it's a really great podcast. They have they interview Cocoa developers, and it gives a lot of insight. They talk about like how they got into Cocoa programming, like what some of the problems they have with Cocoa programming, and it's really cool. And they also have other ones that for different languages that are similar to this. Like Dale, you said you listen to the Ruby podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of the same? Do they do the same thing?
Yeah, they pretty much, they talk a lot about the history of how it started and a lot of the upstart projects and things like that.
Yeah, this that's kind of what this is like. But it's really cool. Check it out at cocoaradio.com. And because I've been getting more back into now my Cocoa programming. I'm working on a program for Mac that'll get high-res album artwork images for all your music in your iTunes library. And also, I'm also going to add in some other features like getting movie covers for movies that you download or things like that. And then just to organize and clean up your iTunes library. Because some things that annoy me and some other people, it's like if you have an iPod, when you like say you update it to put the music on your iPod, you might have two things of Michael Jackson, and there's going to be a little space, and it sees as two different artists, and that'll, my program should hopefully fix that and some other things. So hopefully see that project out and before Christmas, hopefully.
That'd be good. That really tends to bother me.
Yeah, so that's why I'm a freak when it comes to organizing my music. It's kind of, I just get annoyed at small things because there's some other artwork fetchers out there, but they get from Amazon, and Amazon has really low res quality. And so what my thing can do, if the artist is on iTunes and the album is on iTunes, it'll be able to download that high res off the music store and put it on the things. So if you import a CD or anything like that. And so I have the scripts and everything. So
yeah, fetch art's kind of buggy. Doesn't work that well.
Yeah, I'm going to be implementing that script into it for songs that aren't on iTunes, just if they want to. So, but it's fun.
What I always do when I import a new album or something, I'll always just go to Google Images and type in the name of the album, and for most likely you'll get covers. And I just pick the one that looks the best and save it into I have a folder in my music directory just for artwork. And I save it all there and I import it that way.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would go on to Amazon or something like that, or do that, or CD covers.cc. But for some ones I didn't do it before. So when I have 3,000 songs, I'm not going to do that. And so that's what the point of my program is, to just make it easier to just download that stuff. And because it just makes it, the music look much nicer now that I'm not using CDs anymore.
Well, yeah, but then when you put it on your iPod, now you see the album art, it looks a lot nicer.
Yeah, and there's also a cool program that makes a 3D CD spinning on for Mac. And when you have a really high-res artwork, it looks really cool. It's like a visualizer kind of thing. That's really cool. So,
cool.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. I think today we got one of our vidcasts out. It was on converting iPod videos for your iPod, obviously. And it's in iPod format. But also, I'm not the best. I wasn't made for TV. I'm not the best, most comfortable in front of the camera.
Well, neither was I for TV either. So, of course, my failure of...
That goes without saying, Corey.
Shut up, Dale. But we're also working on another one. It's going to be on installing Gen 2. I think we said this before in the last podcast, but this one we got one portion recorded, and so we'll get some other ones out, and we should be seeing that soon. And then next weekend, we'll get the, I guess we'll try to get together again for Teen Tech Talk, and then we'll get the video out for the meetup, if that goes well, let's hope. So,
hope so.
Yeah, other than that, I've gotten some
emails. Check out the Wired store down there too, right?
Oh yeah, I was reading Wired this week. I saw that they have a Wired store in Manhattan just for, I think, for a month. Because it just has a date. It says, come check out the first Wired store, but it's just like November 15th through December 22nd. And we're gonna. I'm gonna try. Me and Dale, we'll try to go down there. Maybe we'll take some pictures. It looks pretty cool. I think they're probably showcasing some cool gadgets. And we'll see that. Maybe we'll record it. You never know. But I've also another thing I want to quickly talk about is the Make magazine. I got the latest Make. It's a really great edition. This is number four. This is number four. So this is, I guess, the last of the year. But it's really great. They have a cool article on Dean Kamen, the inventor of iBot, the one wheelchair, and also Segway. And it's got some really cool articles. I love Make is definitely my favorite magazine by far that's come out this year, and I love it. I kind of read it cover to cover. Just a great magazine.
Yeah, it is. I've read a couple of the issues at Barnes & Noble when I was bored.
Too cheap to buy one?
No, I've never bought one. I did read them, though.
Yeah, I have all the editions.
Oh, they're kind of expensive.
Yeah, I love them. So if you check that out, it's a really great magazine. It's my favorite. What?
I said it's practically a book.
Yeah, I know. It's $15, but it's well worth it.
Yeah. Well, I get the subscription, I think that definitely worked out.
Yeah, and if you get a subscription now, I think you get a free T-shirt. It's $35, I think, for a whole year subscription, so it's half the price.
It's how much? What?
$30 for a year subscription.
Oh, I was about to say, I didn't know how much you said.
It's half the price of what you would buy the newsstand. So I definitely check that out. And I've gotten also another thing. Some people have added me to the Skype contacts. Every once in a while, I see a person tries to add me to their list. But normally I have my one computer, but my Windows computer, which I hardly ever use, I sometimes leave Skype on and I get those. And so I'm sorry if you add me to your list or try to call me and I'm not there. But now with the voicemail, you can leave me a message. And anytime if I'm online, just feel free to Skype me and talk to me.
Yeah. Well, there really hasn't been that much news to talk about.
Yeah, so.
So I guess, we can't make this podcast, juicy with news. But I was juicy. Actually... Ha ha! No, but
come down, Dale.
Out Dale, at the mall.
I need to make fun of him somewhere.
Don't mind Dale. He's not normally a dick, but go on, Corey.
Yeah, he is.
Really?
Okay. But I was at the mall this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with Corey on that one.
Bad time to be at the mall, especially being at the Friday after Thanksgiving and everybody going crazy. But there was just some great deals in the electronics department this weekend, just all of these different things like home theater, surround sound systems slashed in half price, and video games, and definitely high definition TVs. TVs is a big thing this year, and just the deals I saw were crazy.
Yeah, I was at Best Buy with Dale, and I saw the Sharp Aquas. They had a widescreen one, probably like 32 inches maybe or something. It was pretty big. It was a big widescreen for $1,500, an amazing price for a really great LCD TV. And at Walmart, they had a DVD player for $29.
A DVD player for $29?
Yeah.
I saw one for like $19.99.
Jeez.
That's crazy. Definitely.
Did you see that Apple even lowered their prices?
Yeah, they always do that. They always like until Black Friday, they like keep it secret. And what their deals are going to be.
What deals are you talking about?
They rarely lower prices on anything at all.
They lower the prices on the iMac and the iBook, I believe. By a few hundred dollars, like $200.
I said it was down to like $109 or something. I didn't know it so until afterwards. So otherwise, I probably would have gotten it.
Oh, wow. But me and Dale were trying that three-way conference. We got it to work with a third-party app, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean...
Video quality wasn't great because we were all using G4s, but
yeah,
it was cool.
But someday. All right, well, let's not keep the listeners bored if anyone's still listening.
Yeah.
So,
if anybody's
out a bit.
So, with that, I think we should end it. We'll try to get try to keep the podcast going. I don't know where Robert was supposed to be here, but we don't know where he is. And, I'll try to work on a site redesign in the next coming weeks. So with that, I think that about ends it for Teen Tech Talk.
All right.
Good night.